All right, election day is here, and here's my unwritten rule that I try to abide by, and I'm going to try my hardest yet again, because there was a time in North Dakota in which it was not legal to politic for one candidate or a campaign, all that. And weren't those the glory days? Didn't hear the radio ads, you didn't see the billboards, none of the yard signs, it was all done. All you had to do was go out and vote. Well, those are no longer the days now, technically. We're going to try to adhere to that because that's a tradition that I did enjoy at that time, and we're going to try to keep that alive here on Afternews Live. I'm Tyler Axis, your host. Eric Johnson, the birthday boy, he's our producer. We're going to be with you until 5 o'clock. We're going to get you ready. We're not talking about candidates, but we're going to be talking about this election, in particular here in Fargo. I know that last week was early voting, and a lot of people took part in that across the state. I think I saw 45,000 people had already voted before today. But today here in Fargo, on Election Day, there is now the second time that people are going up to the polls and having a new method. It's approval voting. And I've gotten some messages saying, I figured it out. Maybe it's a little bit more confusing than I expected going in. So I said, I know just the guy to talk to. One of the head honchos, I got the whole thing started, Jed Lemke. He was with Reform Fargo. He joins me in studio. Got approval voting on the ballot, and then you got to pass through all of you voting for it. Jed, welcome back. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Doing well. I appreciate you coming on in, even though it's like 3 years ago that this whole thing was passed, but yeah. You know, it's only the second time that it's been put into action here, and this might be the first time some people are voting.
Oh, for sure.
On this entire thing. So explain approval voting to me like I'm 5 years old.
You can vote for as many or as few candidates as you want. Most votes wins.
Okay, that was quite simple. So when I'm sitting at, whether it's the tablet or if I got my whole ballot there, you can count as many as you want. You can do as few as you want. Mm-hmm. There's no limitations is what we're saying.
Correct, yep.
Okay. So Fargo, if I recall, is one of the first, if not the first, to really implement this. Now that we are in our second one, did you get much feedback anywhere else after the first election about the process on other people saying, okay, well, they've got it working out there?
Within Fargo here, the feedback that we received was overwhelmingly positive, that people understood how it worked. They were, you know, happy with their ability to, you know, to be flexible with how they voted, and they were, you know, overall pretty satisfied. And then nationally, since we adopted it, St. Louis, Missouri adopted approval voting as well, and there are efforts underway in other cities as well as like Seattle right now is underway.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
We're going to see.
And their eyes are on Fargo.
Yes, their eyes are on Fargo. Hey, we're trendsetters.
There we are. Sometimes we talk like we are, but this is, in fact, a real opportunity in which we are setting some trends here.
Absolutely.
One of the questions that got brought up to me as well, because you got the mayoral race, you got the city commission, both approval.
Yeah.
School board's not. Was there a reason during the – again, I understand this is like 3 years ago, 4 years ago, so if you don't recall – is there a reason why the school board is not approval voting, but the other two are?
Yes, because the school board isn't run by the city. So we were able to change it for city offices, and we couldn't go beyond that. The school board is required to run their elections the way the county does. So if we wanted to change that, we'd have to do a countywide initiative instead.
Okay, so a baby step in. Let's just start with the city of Fargo.
That's right, yep.
So, I mean, it seems basic. It seems, you know, like it is. I think maybe it's because it is just so new that people are expecting, well, geez, there's only two seats, but there's 15 candidates or whatever it is now. So, I mean, if you want to vote for 14, you can. If you want to vote for one.
Yeah, you could. But I kind of I hate that example because that's the one that the opponents of this always say, well, you can vote for all 15 if you wanted to. Well, that's just ridiculous. It's like you're not going to – nobody's going to do that. That's a hypothetical situation that doesn't make any sense.
Correct.
Yeah. So, well, no, you're going to vote for the people you like. You're not going to vote for the people that you don't. And if that means you vote for just one, great. If you only like one candidate, just vote for one. Please only vote for one if you only like one. But if you like a few, vote for a few. Or if you only know I really hate one, vote for everybody else.
So my question is for you. You're a candidate now. And I know. Just what you wanted, right?
But okay.
But now you are, because I'm asking the question. This is live radio. So you're you're now the candidate.
Yeah.
You're running with this approval voting process.
Sure.
What is your strategy? When we had our city commission debate on a Saturday a few weeks ago, a bunch of us got together and we're trying to figure out strategies. For me, it makes sense. Like you say, hey, only vote for me as a candidate, right? So
yeah,
I'm curious what your strategy
would be. But what a candidate wants and what a voter wants are not necessarily the same thing. Unfortunately, that's the world that we live in. That's just how that works. But I will say, I think as a candidate, you know, it can be beneficial to say, you know, who are the other candidates that I'm similar to? Like, maybe we can pool our resources. We can work together. We saw that. I received a mailer that had a half a dozen candidates on it the other day. You never would have saw that before approval voting in town. But it allowed candidates who have similar ideas to work together to try to spread the message. And, you know, they'd be happy for one another, I think, if they won. Obviously, every candidate wants to be the one that wins. Like,
right.
Like, not delusional
here.
Yeah, of course. But, yeah, I think ultimately, this allows you to find those allies and to work with those allies when you're running.
You know, you mentioned that. And again, I'm not naming any names because that's I just made the pledge 5 minutes ago. I can't break it that early in the show. It's noticeable when you see pairings up. I've heard a radio ad, for example, of somebody that's running for mayor or somebody that's running for the commission.
Mm-hmm.
And now, granted, they're not going to be canceling each other out. There's more collaboration, I think, in this particular election than I've ever seen in a city race before.
I agree. Absolutely. I mean, I've gotten door knockers that are handing out, you know, pieces of lit for more than two commissioners at a time, you know, more than one mayoral candidate at a time. And we're used to kind of seeing that for school boards since they run as either 4 or 5 at a time. But definitely seeing more collaboration this time, which is, I think, one of the benefits. I mean, is there still mudslinging? Sure, there's some of that. But there's also way more cooperation than we've seen before. And I think that can only have a good effect on our government.
I'll note that the mudslinging wasn't even coming from candidates themselves. It was coming from some other special interest group. But
who knows where that's coming from. And I think these dark money organizations, I think it's like, and I don't think we'll ever know unless people get loose-lipped in a bar somewhere.
Well, and that's what the person that was the target of those flyers, we're never going to find out who paid for these. And it seemed like he was surprised to find that out. It's like, that's the law, man. And I completely agree. We should change it if that's the way of which we're going here. Jed Lemke is my guest. We're talking about approval voting. If you have not voted in the Fargo area, this is only something for you right now. But as you're hearing, there's other areas that are looking at implementing this. And plus, polling's going to be open until 7 o'clock tonight. Our coverage here of election night is going to be from 7 to 8:30. Joel Heidkamp, myself, going to be in studio. We're going to have a whole crew out at these locations as well where the candidates are going to be celebrating as these results come in. One of the other things that's been thrown out now that it's been, this is second, of why approval voting got, you know, people, there's outgoing commissioners that, and I don't necessarily disagree because here's my observation. You can tell me I'm wrong. People always do on the show of there had been a pattern of like-minded candidates, I'd say, running and canceling each other's votes out because all of a sudden, we're splitting votes here.
Yeah.
And that's how people on the opposite side of the spectrum of this political landscape would get elected. Yeah. Was this directly to prevent that from happening again?
This is directly to prevent the negative effects of vote splitting. So yes, I guess in that sense, this isn't a partisan thing. This wasn't meant to forward or stifle any ideologies. This was to take care of the problem that exists when similar candidates run, and they can be running on popular platforms that the majority of voters would approve, and then they cannibalize one another's support and allow less popular platforms to win. And this approval voting allows you, that gives you, you know, a hedge against that, basically. Like, I think if somebody wins, it should be because they're running on a popular platform and that they are a hardworking popular candidate, not because they win due to some mathematical advantage that helps them out. It really stinks because the system was biased in favor of helping less popular views win if more popular views had more candidates, which of course they would because they're more popular views.
So after the first time, now we're gonna have the results tonight going into tomorrow. We'll break those down.
Yeah.
You happy with the product? You happy with how it's been working over the course of the last couple of years?
I'm happy with how it's working. I would say that I wish that the Secretary of State's office or the county would report the results in the way that the city law says they're supposed to be reported. But aside from that, pretty happy.
We'll talk a little bit more about that in just a moment. How's that sound? Jed Lemke's my guest. We're talking about approval voting. You have until 7 o'clock tonight to go out and cast that ballot. I encourage you. We'll tell you where you can vote. There's a variety of options for you to get on out and do your civic duty. After News Live is just getting started. KFGO time is 2:19. Stick around. East of Omaha. Jed Lepke's my guest. He was with Reform Fargo that got approval voting on the ballot and then got it passed. And before we took a quick pause here, Jed, he talked about, I just wish Secretary of State of North Dakota's election results page would report the results the way it's supposed to be.
Well, the way that our law in Fargo passed.
Okay. So over the break, and now I get it, it's radio, so I can just say, hey, look at this screen for all of you listening to me right now. But we pulled up the Secretary of State's page, and go back to 2020, the June primary in which you've got the city commission race, and it looks, and I mean, the results are what they are. Yeah, John Strand and Arlette Preston winning. And explain how this doesn't really paint the picture for the general public, the way you explained to me, because I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Sure, yeah. So the most important thing to understand is that John Strand and Arlette did win that election. They had the highest vote totals. But when you look at the results, it says there were 44,000 some total votes at the bottom of this thing. And to most people, when you sit down and you look at that, you think to yourself, oh, 44,000 votes, that means there are 44,000 voters. That's not the case. So the percentages that are shown on the Secretary of State's website say that John and Arlette got, you know, 25% of the vote or whatever, which doesn't sound like a mandate. And while approval doesn't require a majority or anything to win, frankly, there were 18,000 voters or 19,000 voters in that election. John got over half of them to vote for him. Arlette did too. So in reality, they did, I would say, have a mandate in that particular situation.
See, and that's why I'm so glad he stuck around and just threw that out so casually about the Secretary of State, because during the KFGO commission debate that happened again on a couple of Saturdays ago, that question was posed that if you get elected with, say, and what I read here looks like John Strand got 25% of the vote.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't have the mandate. How do you go in and say, look, I've got a mandate to get out here, do what I promise on the campaign trail? This is quite deceiving when you explain it to me and break it down.
It is. And the frustrating thing is that this has been the issue for any multi-winner race in the state for decades. That's just how they're reported. So you look at lots of districts, they elect two representatives, mm-hmm. and you look at the total votes and it will say, you know, 20,000 people voted or whatever, when there are only 10,000 voters. And the people will get elected with 25% according to that site. But in reality, they got, you know, 50%, 60%. Mm-hmm. So it's frustrating to look at. It's misleading. The people who win are the people who won, certainly. Mm-hmm. But the percentages do matter because they create a different perception for the people that are observing the election.
Yeah. I mean, for it to get brought up during a debate, mm-hmm. with a mandate saying if you only get X percent, how do you feel empowered to go in and do something aside from the fact that you got the title?
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot more of a deep dive that needs to be done,
mm-hmm.
On this. And part of that comes from just the reporting aspect.
Yeah, it does. And I'd love to see it changed. And I'm not trying to throw the Secretary of State or the county under the bus. Like, the equipment they use, mm-hmm. this is what they're able to get out of it.
It's dated. The equipment needed to be updated a long time ago.
Yeah. And to like our county's credit, I've spoken with the county election officials a couple times. Too many times to count in the last several years, but a couple times in the recent election, and they said that they will endeavor to include the number of voters per ballot question, so per race, on the abstracts that they release this time, which means that we will be able to say, oh, there were 17,000 voters, we can see that this person got this many votes, and then we can derive that percentage from there and get a better sense of whether or not the candidate's got the support of the people or not.
You know who likes that besides just the winners and the general public are people that have to report the results.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like tonight, when I'm waiting for those results to come in, it gets mm-hmm. to be quite cumbersome.
Yeah, and also like they have to go into a hole for the next week while they actually complete canvassing, because you have to remember, results aren't technically official for another week after the election, at least. So
a lot of people learned that in that last election in 2020, mostly in the general election, but mm-hmm. that's a whole other topic of conversation.
Yes. Yeah. You won't be able to get a hold of the city auditor or the county auditors for another week. It's like tax season for accountants.
Well, that's one thing, tonight, polls close at 7:00 and I'll be interested to see how long it takes for results to come out.
Yeah, I'm not sure. If I recall, at least in the 2018 election, basically, we had results, and then they counted all of the mail-in ballots and everything, too, so it kind of came in stages, and I expect that to be the same. But reporting-wise, the important thing is to just focus on the vote totals and be reasonable to how many people you think voted, go from there.
Oh, very good. Thanks for the advice, man. I appreciate you coming back in. It's good to catch up.
Yeah, you bet.
Jed Lemke, again, he was with Reform Fargo. This approval voting that many of you in this area listening to me are undertaking. That's why. I'm curious to your experience. Let me know at 35270. That is the Ad Consultants of North Dakota Text Club. But again, you can call in all day at 237-5948. That is the Laney studio line. Again, if you're calling in, I'm not going to be asking you to advocate for or against any candidates. No politicking on this show. At least we're going to try our dangdest to not do that. But we will talk about the your experience of voting. And it doesn't have to be isolated approval voting, just general across this wide listening audience that we have. And when we come back, I do want to talk about money in this election, not who as far as candidates are spending, but when you've got the large amounts going in, as was provided by NDSU and some of the public policy out there, the Upper Midwest Center on Public Policy, Dr. Nick Baroth putting this together and saying, look, here's how much more money is being spent this election in comparison to, say, the last 2 years in a general. And where and who is spending that money as far as these dark money groups, including the governor of North Dakota, and where it's going. Let's get into that conversation in just a little bit here. Also, a little bit later on, the whole Google, the Lambda, the language model of dialogue applications, when this whistleblower says, yeah, it's sentient, it has feelings, it's got this whole, it's a, you know, got rights. We'll talk about that with Dr. Ann Denton. She's a professor up at NDSU when it comes to computer science. This whole situation fascinating to me. We'll see what she thinks about that and so much more coming up. On a Tuesday afternoon, it's beautiful outside, and I hope it's treating you wherever you got us locked in on 798.